WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Starving Artist No More. Chicago artists are launching a pilot initiative to give retirement support to independent and freelance musicians, folks who can't access the pension resources available to unionized musicians. It's called Golden Egg. To learn more about the program, we sat down with Deidre Huckabee, a musician and project manager for Golden Egg. We also spoke to Adrian Ruiz, a freelance musician and member of the steering committee, which has guided the grant project. I started off by asking them about their music. Here's Deidre.
My background is in classical music. I went to conservatory and studied the flute. But when I moved to Chicago 12 years ago, I just encountered the breadth and diversity of art that's happening in town. It totally upset my sense of myself. I was watching improv comedy, storefront theater, improvised music, you name it. You can see it at any night of the week in Chicago. So now I make a little bit different kinds of music. I make electronic music and performance art and still play the flute from time to time.
Yeah, I grew up playing the clarinet and I was always jealous of you flute kids. I was like, I want people to do that. Mm. Adrian, what about you? Tell us more about yourself and the type of music that you make.
Sure. Pianist residing in the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. I do as many genres as I possibly can.
Nice.
As a freelance pianist. I try to say yes to everything.
So then I'm curious, you know, without something like this pilot program that we're going to get into, is it currently possible for a person to retire comfortably after working solely as a musician? Deidre?
It depends. Professional life in music can look 100 different ways. I mean, Beyonce is going to retire comfortably.
Right. There's only one.
Exactly. Yes. You can't compare. Plenty of professional artists have work on the side. Plenty of professional artists barely make rent, you know. And if anyone is out there working solely in music and earning enough to pay their bills and to save a little bit for retirement, that person is not only very lucky, they're very, very hardworking. They're very industrious. They're very very in tune with the demand for their work as well. So it's very rare.
What do you think about that, Adrian?
Yeah, well,
can you retire comfortably?
It is possible. It is possible. It's funny. And until I want to say this, I was approached with this project. I was like, oh, yeah, retirement. That is something that is going to come up.
Hadn't even thought about it lately.
Thought about that. Yeah. You know, as artists, you know, you love what you do and you don't imagine yourself ever like commonplace, right? You just, I'm after 40 years, I'm not walking up a ladder anymore or going to the corporate office anymore.
So for the person who isn't, to your point, like, thinking about that, I mean, what are some of the ways that they would have to scrape things together to be able to retire, Deidre?
I mean, my personal vision of retirement before I started working on Golden Egg was that I might depart the earth before I had to deal with dementia. You know, these are the types of ideas that at the time felt easier than imagining my needs, my normal human needs being met as I aged, you know. And now I'm nearly 40, so to be clear, that is no longer my dream. I can imagine lots of ways of savoring life.
Yes.
Even when it becomes difficult at that age.
And that is good to hear.
Yeah.
I hear that you're seeing musicians continue to perform into their 70s and their 80s and their 90s. Is it more for fun and fulfillment, or in part so that artists can continue supporting themselves?
You know, everyone's life looks different. Like Adrian was saying, music is a lifelong companion for any musician. And, you know, I hope that I have the chance to be with music as my life and my body changes. So it's not like a traditional field where you're like, I can't wait to get to the beach at the end of my life. It's not like that. Yeah. But some of my favorite music, you know, some of the best records or the best performances I've ever seen have come from artists who have lived a long, beautiful, you know, complex life and are sharing, sharing that with the world into their 80s and 90s. You know, I think of Pharoah Sanders, who played right up until he turned to 80 right before he passed. And his last record, if you know it, you know it, that Floating Points Records with Pharoah Sanders. I listened to it 100 times when it came out in the pandemic. Or my favorite French composer, Eliane Radigue, is 95 years old and is still making incredible, completely, utterly new, unbelievable work that is unlike anything else you can hear.
I mean, how many times have we heard that, you know, someone has wanted to follow a passion and pursue music, but they had to leave it and find something else that could offer financial stability? Or maybe they did it, but they also had to work multiple gigs. Is that something that sounds familiar to you, Adrian?
Absolutely. Yeah, these days, you can't just perform. So I myself teach, record, perform.
And all of these things bring in some income.
Everything, yes, exactly. And everything adds up and everything works in conjunction. But there's no sole one thing that I could do that would be, oh, this is all I need to do
today. Yeah. I'm financially stable just from this one gig.
Yep, yeah.
Thinking of everything that we've been discussing, Deidre, I mean, how does this pilot program work to counteract all of this?
Sure. Well, Golden Egg is a new initiative we've started that is an artist-run retirement matching grant program. This year, we're giving away retirement grants to artists, and we only have a small seed fund thanks to support from the Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events. Mm-hmm. Those folks who do receive grants, they'll take those dollars, they'll deposit them in an IRA or some other personal retirement account along with a matching contribution of their own. And hopefully in time, those dollars will help be a part of their plans as they age.
And we'll dig into more specifics later. But Adrian, I wonder how you hope that Golden Egg will, you know, spur conversations in the music world about retirement. So have folks now actually start thinking about it and it not be more of an afterthought like you described earlier.
Yeah. I mean, I've now made it a point to like every student, every, you know, artist I cross paths with, it's like, hey, have you thought about this? Cause now I'm thinking about it. And it's like, oh, and it's always the same reaction.
Right.
Yeah, I guess
that is
right. That's not automatic.
And right.
Yeah.
I bet we just did that verbatim too, right?
Yeah. I know. And even myself, I never thought about it because I've always like, oh, I have enough energy. And then as time goes on, it's like, well, I kind of don't have as much energy as I did 20, you know.
Might 10 not
years
be able
ago.
To do this until I'm 90.
Yeah.
How long ago did you come up with this idea, Deidre, for the pilot program?
Sure. Yeah. I first imagined this in 2019. I mean, and it was thanks to a big grant opportunity that the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events had issued at the time. My work for Money Work is in fundraising. So I just had to imagine some form of a grant that, you know, an artist might receive and it stays with them. They have a chance to hang on to it and let it appreciate and have a chance to, you know, grow some of the wealth they need to age.
But you tried a number of times to get this to come to fruition. Is that right?
Yeah. Back in 2019, we submitted a couple of grants for this project. And, you know, it's a pretty unusual idea. And it's not, anyone in this line of work will tell you that you don't win every proposal you submit. So, no, we didn't get the first couple, but we kept trying.
Yeah.
And last year, the city got some great dollars through some kind of federal pandemic relief program. which created this new grant opportunity that we went for and got.
And you partnered with the Experimental Sound Studio? What's that collab about?
Yeah, ESS, or Experimental Sound Studio, is a Northside experimental music nonprofit. They're a performing venue. They have an amazing archive of experimental music recordings. They do all kinds of multi-artist events and commissioning projects. They're amazing, first of all. I was a huge fan of their work and often going to shows there.
Yeah.
But they have a mission that's very arts service focused. They're always trying to, the folks that work there are always trying to imagine new ways of helping artists as a community. And so it was just a natural fit to approach them with the idea. I knew that they were trying to figure out healthcare for artists, which is a whole other nut to crack one day. So, I approached them and it was just a very, very natural fit right away. And a nonprofit partner has been really helpful because it means that we can accept donations that are tax deductible, for example. And we have a little bit of kind of community clout and support through that partnership.
Adrian, why did you get involved with the project when you were approached?
As I always say, I wasn't thinking about it, but it was always on the back of my mind. And then when I'd always think about, how can I do something? What can be done? And it's like, you can't, it's such a big question. And so when I got the email and I looked it up and I said, this is fantastic. This is what is needed. You know, it's exciting. It's like the youth get involved, you know, start thinking about this stuff that, you know, they don't talk about in schools. Mm-hmm.
They don't quite prepare you for.
Don't all that stuff. And so I envision it growing, and I hope that it begins the conversation for a lot of younger individuals in the arts that's like, I should start this now. I should start this now.
Yeah, when I look at the members of the steering committee, Deidre, I mean, there's a range of musical genres, including DJs. Do different kinds of musicians have different considerations that need to be accounted for when we talk about retirement?
Sure. I mean, every person has different considerations to negotiate. If you talk to a financial planner and they'll add all these asterisks to any advice they give you, because everyone's needs are totally different. Everyone's careers are totally different. But all of the musicians that are part of our steering committee and all of the musicians that have applied so far definitely need financial support for retirement. Right now we've gotten 126 applications for our retirement matching grants, which is awesome. And fully 50% of those applicants have zero retirement savings right now.
Wow.
So we're all pretty...
So there's a need.
Exactly. Yeah, we all universally just need to start thinking about it, need to start preparing for it.
Yeah. And you say people have to do a matching grant here, right? Mm-hmm. Of any amount?
Yeah, any amount. The idea there is that people start just getting in the habit of setting aside some dollars along with the dollars that we give them. I also imagine, I think there may be some hidden capital inside our own community. As much as we like to think of ourselves as starving artists, I think there are some dollars in there that we could just direct around a little bit differently if someone prompted us to make different choices. So, so that's the idea behind the matching grant facet of it.
And Adrian, how did the steering committee decide what qualifies someone as a working musician?
Ooh, that's actually a really good question. Because I think that was bounced back and forth, you know, like how do you, you know, tell
so
someone,
what was yeah, it? Tell me, not, bring me into that conversation.
You know, how do you, like, is it someone that just does it one day a week? Or is it someone that like is every day on the grind?
Yeah.
So we came up with several meetings, we came up with a nice application and, using prior taxes and everything like that, you know, to kind of say, all right, yes, yeah, you are an artist.
Yeah.
You are an artist.
My memory of those conversations is that they got a little bit heated sometimes.
I bet they did. I'm trying to get the tea here.
Totally. There was a moment where we were like, does someone need to earn 80% to 100% of their income as a musician to be considered a professional musician, for example.
Yeah.
And some people felt pretty strongly about this on the steering committee. But in the end, we decided that any musician that calls themselves a professional musician is a musician.
Yeah.
And in terms of the application, in order to sort of prove your active professional musician status, you just need to submit a couple of links that show evidence of you having performed. So things like, an Instagram post about your gig last month, that kind of lets us know that you're
and we
a
live in the age where people do that anyway.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're only able to fund 16 people this round. You, as you mentioned before, you're hoping to sustain and grow the program quickly. What's success going to look like? How do you measure that?
Honestly, this year, giving away 16 grants is a huge success. That will be something that no one has ever done. And those dollars going into folks' retirement accounts, especially folks who have no retirement accounts, that's a huge achievement. In my lifetime, though, I fantasize about raising $100 million or $500 million for this idea and really gathering as a community the kind of wealth that we need to sustain one another, like true democratic ownership and control of a community trust or fund that protects a lot of people that are going completely unprotected at the moment. Like this, that's the fantasy.
Yeah. Well, when is the deadline to apply and where can people get more information to either apply or support the initiative?
Oh, yeah. Our website is goldeneggchicago.org. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Golden Egg Chicago. And the application deadline for musicians, and again, that's anyone who identifies as a professional working musician, that deadline is November 1st.
That's Deidre Huckabee, who's project manager, and Adrian Ruiz, a freelance musician and member of Golden Egg Steering Committee. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sasha. It's a dream.
Aww. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Meha Ahmed. If you enjoy conversations like this one, don't forget to subscribe and like our podcast. You can also check out our website at wbez.org/reset to see our entire catalog of interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll be back this afternoon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.